item. It's an update on municipal stormwater phase two permitting.
Because it's a great idea and then it's been done in this state or that it's been done before, we had to say, okay, does it really make a difference, and look at some technical information and past information on whether or not it should be in there. So this has been a pretty long process trying to find out what works and what doesn't work. We also decided that there should be prioritization in this permit, not an overall ramping up of permit requirements, because we find that this BMP is great, best management practice, or this activity works good. We wanted to prioritize areas. So there's two areas in this permit that the executive management and the board members have told us are an issue for them: implementing TMDLs, BMPs to address TMDLs, and any areas that discharge to areas of biological significance. And so we had to look at where in California we need to kind of ramp up some of the permit requirements and provisions. We also focus a priority on post-construction requirements, and that's something that Mona had mentioned, that's a priority in Region 1, and also receiving water monitoring. That's not a requirement now in the permit regulations, and only a few Phase 2 permittees that are designated under the program now are doing that, but it's a logical next step. If you implement a program that is to protect water quality, we need to find out if it actually is. So we need some chemical monitoring to see if there is some type of exceedance of your basin plan. So that's a priority for the this permit term. Thank you. So there are a lot of changes to this permit, but I tried to break it down to 10 things that have been discussed quite frequently, and I'll touch on to them very briefly. In this first permit term, there was the approach to a permit where the permittees decide on the activity and the BMP to implement to address their water quality issues. In this next permit term, we've removed the requirement to submit this plan where they include all of these details. We actually put the details in the permit. And the reason why we've done that is because there are thousands of permittees in California right now, over 1,500, split throughout 9 regional boards, and it's really impossible for the regional boards to review all those management plans in a comprehensive manner, in a timely manner. So in this first permit term, a lot of the plans were kind of rubber stamped, because regional boards didn't have enough staff to do so and review them appropriately. Some weren't even reviewed at all, and they didn't implement a program in this first term. So to address this issue of just the sheer number of plans to review, we put the actual requirements in the permit. So everything is known up front in the permit, and not later for anyone in the public or the regional boards to guess what is going to be implemented. I touched on the specific management measures, so they're actually spelled out in the permit. And then designation criteria. In the first permit term, we went with what the federal regs, the stormwater rule, told us. What EPA said was use these maps that we've created based on the 2000 census and any urbanized area. And there are all these maps that show areas of urbanized growth. If any of these municipalities or entities are located within these areas, then they should be designated. So in the first permit term, that's who you saw designated, and that was the list that Mona showed you earlier. In this next permit term, we're using the 2010 census data. And so I'm hoping that will address some of the areas that are fast growing now from the last census data. Also, areas that have 25% growth within the 10 years to 2000 to 2010. And then also anyone that discharges to an ASBS would be designated. And we have additional criteria, and I can go into that a lot more in more detail. But basically, we've kind of ramped up the designation because not only areas of urbanizing growth are an issue, but also areas that discharge to special areas of biological significance. In the first permit term, we wrote a permit that was very general and said, permittee, write your stormwater management plan, tell us what you're going to do. And that was good if we had enough region board staff to review the plans and if we got some adequate plans. But a lot of times through reviewing audits of these programs, the plans weren't very good. So we actually added special provisions for different types of MS4s. So as I said earlier, you had the traditional MS4s, the municipalities. So we have certain types of BMPs for those folks, and then the other non-traditional MS4s, like state and federal facilities, there's specific provisions for them as well. So it's not a one-size-fits-all permit. It's a permit that actually identifies what type of permittee you are, and it has different compliance deadlines and BMPs to implement. We also added a program management section to the permit. In the first term permit, it basically said, do these six minimum control measures, implement this program, and you figure it out. We actually put this program management section in there to help the permittees in a stepwise fashion on how to implement a program. Six, we have changed the requirements for reporting, for annual reporting, and it's now electronic, and it's through the SMART system. It's called the Stormwater Multiple Application Reporting and Tracking System. And so we ask that the permittees use that instead of writing, you know, tall binders of reports to the regional boards. It's all electronic. And they also submit their notice of intent, which is the application document, through the SMART system as well. So everything is electronic. And it's consistent with how the construction general stormwater permit is implemented. And it's the way that the industrial general stormwater permit is also going electronic for annual reporting and application documents. We've also looked kind of at a watershed-based approach for post-construction. I can't really speak in detail about what this section is going to look like because, as I said, we're working with the stakeholders right now, and all of that has not been worked out. What I can say about the entire permit in general is that we've made a lot of changes, so it really looks much different than the June draft that caused a lot of commotion and contention and issues. From what I gather, you know, a lot of the changes are being met with a lot of agreement and a lot of smiles leaving the room, which is good. Another addition would be the specific TMDL implementation requirements. TMDL is kind of a tricky area. You know, it's a separate process to stormwater. You adopt the TMDL, and then you have to implement it in a stormwater permit. And the two programs don't always speak the same language. So in our permit, what we've attempted to do in one of our attachments is list the actual municipalities or entities that are subject to a TMDL and put the specific TMDL BMPs or activities to comply with it. A lot in the past, what we've asked municipalities to do to address TMDLs is submit a TMDL plan at a later date. But if we follow the approach that we're taking with this permit, that everything is up front, nothing's left to guessing, this is consistent where the actual attachment lists all of the municipalities or the folks that are identified in a source area of a TMDL and the actual BMPs. I talked about receiving water monitoring. That's new in the permit. And then also the last would be program effectiveness assessment. And that's really important because we tell these programs or permittees to implement this comprehensive program, do A, B, and C, and we need to know if it's working, if when they're sweeping their streets, how much sediment they're picking up, how much sediment are they cleaning from their storm drains. We need to know all of this to see if it's effective. Here's a, I put this slide up to show you an example of how it's not a one-size-fits-all, and I know it's very small, and you can't read it, but at the top is the provisions, and then at the to the left axis, you have the actual categories of different types of permittees. And so not everyone is implementing the same program. They're implementing a partial program. And it seems quite simple just to put an X there and say you're doing this or not. But we've sat down for months with each of these types of entities like California community colleges, districts, DOD, a military facility representatives, and talked to them and said, can you do this? Does it make sense to implement this? For example, a DOD facility doesn't have industrial commercial facilities. Obviously, they won't implement that. But we went to great detail to make sure this isn't a one-size-fits-all permit. And here's another example of a different tiers within the permit. So you have the new traditional permittees, which are the new municipalities, then the new non-traditional permittees, which are the state federal facilities, and if you're a renewal, you have a different standard of compliance, a different timeline. This is, talks about SMART. I think I went into detail about that. You know, we're using electronic system. A water-based approach to post-construction. I do want to mention something about that. There are so many different types of post-construction requirements throughout California. There's 9 regional boards, and there's 9 different ways to implement post-construction requirements. What we've tried to do is input some type of requirement that makes sense to everyone, which is very difficult. These two sections, post-construction and water quality monitoring, have been the most difficult to deal with. But the way that we've tried to address the differences between the region is that if a phase two MS4 is within a phase one MS4 area that has their own post-construction development requirements, we say you should implement that requirement. So you have a watershed consistent way of approaching post-construction development. We've also are thinking about expanding that to the entire program. So if you're within a phase one, you can implement their program if you like, since they've already been implementing this program and we wouldn't want you to redevelop the wheel and spend more money on a new program. And as I said earlier, we have specific TMDL implementation requirements. And receiving water monitoring, this is one thing that we know is the most costly to any MS4 program. So in this permit, we're proposing to limit it to just larger municipalities, so 25,000 or more in population, and large non-traditional, so big schools, the UC Santa Barbaras of the world that take up a lot of space. Those are the folks that do the monitoring, not the small disadvantaged communities. We wouldn't want them to spend all their money on monitoring. And then we strongly encourage partnering with folks that are already doing monitoring because it is such an expensive program. And then, as I said earlier, program effectiveness assessment to evaluate whether or not you're actually making a difference. So that's it. I can take any questions if you like.
Ms. Sotelo, thank you very much for coming over. I didn't have copies of those slides, and I would request maybe that you could provide them through either Mona or maybe Ms. Coleman. You have copies, but I think that's a, does it include all yours? It does? You got everything? Maybe I don't. It's okay. Maybe it's just me. So I'll make sure.
You're learning the first rule of chairmanship. They keep stuff away from you.
It's that mushroom theory.
Should I give it back?
Yeah, thanks, John. Can I ask you, though, Ms. Sotelo,
sure.
Just a quick question. Timing, it sounds like this is fairly far along. So timing-wise, it's out for final public comment soon, and then it's to be adopted sometime late spring. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah. But if we, you know, we need to work with the stakeholders and address their issues and make the changes to the permit. And when I say stakeholders, it's the regional boards, CASQA, all the permittees, and the environmental groups. And that's been a tricky... thing to do. So we're hoping for the first quarter 2012, but it looks like probably in the early summer.
Well, and I admit that I work in this area. I've done a fair amount of sampling and work and practitioner out on the new front of the construction, and people are also anticipating the industrial as it comes as well.
Yes.
And the changes to that. So this is a world in flux right now.
Yes, it is.
It certainly is.
Mm-hmm. The Caltrans permit is in line to go to a board hearing first, then the phase two permit, and then the industrial general permit. So that's the way we've kind of been moving.
Yeah. Board member comments or questions?
Mr. Chair, thank you. Thank you, Christine. That's very good. MS4 is one that it isn't gravel, it isn't sediment, it isn't pollution, it isn't all those things, and yet stormwater is all of those things. So it is a very important area, particularly for our region. We have many, many little entities which are less than 5,000. You really don't, like I said, they're zip code. They're not an entity, and the counties being as poor as they are, you can put the onus on them, but getting actually things to happen, I know being familiar with the West County particularly, there's a lot of small entities where there is work that needs to be done, but it is not, I don't know how you do it. I know it needs to be done. I just don't know how you do it, and I'm having been up and down California in the last couple of weeks. There's a lot of that in the periphery that is away from major urban areas where we don't have a way to do that. And I both challenge you and laud you with what you've done, but how are you going to do that?
Yeah, it's been very tricky, and Catherine has expressed that concern with the small communities. But as we're working with the stakeholders now, we've been looking at off-ramps on how we can get these small disadvantaged communities and folks that don't have the structure, that don't know what stormwater is, and how we can get them out of the program or find funding for them to implement a program. And if they have to implement the program, if they are in the areas that the board members found are a priority, like the TMDL areas and ASBS, we're looking to leverage existing staff. So take, for example, our construction program. We had a very extensive table that says the frequency of inspections before, after, and during a storm event. And that would cost a lot of money for these small communities to hire a new inspector to go out there and take inventory. What we've done in these stakeholder meetings is that we've talked about, okay, how do we leverage who you already have? So we've actually backed off on the frequency on when they would normally do another inspection for, say, their grading permit. So we've stepped back. And so those are the ways that we've tried to address these economic and short staffing issues and tried to get a lot of the folks that we know can't really implement a program out. So we've took a meaningful look on how they can do it.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Other board member questions? I can see the connections between, say, the existing program, say, construction stormwater program to post-construction to MS4 to TMDL to, you know, a bunch of these other things going on, and I think it's imperative in today's world to try and find those connections. Certainly, I, you know, when we were just talking about the small community sewer systems, and, you know, there's quite a lot of the North Coast region that is classified as low income or poorer communities, and it is a financial burden. So I think that any time we could find the synergies out there, that would be of benefit. A question, and maybe Mona, you can help on this, is in the MS4 program, the phase one, there were some, there's certainly folks that got way out in front of that, and the MS4 phase one is quite far along. And there's a robust body of information out there, whether it be LID manuals or other things. I would hope, too, that that kind of learning curve is then extended to these MS4 phase two permittees so that they're not having to reinvent the wheel. Do you, I would assume that's happening and that you make that information available?
Yes, that's been a big focus for us the last couple of years, and we've kind of done a variety of things to help the phase two communities in smaller areas, even through the CEQA process, even if they don't have stormwater permit coverage. I primarily do specific project review with the applicant to try to incorporate best management practices and low impact development. So I meet with a lot of applicants and engineers individually, as well as city or county staff. We also implement this through our CEQA comments and give them resources to do that. And we worked with our phase one communities, Santa Rosa, Sonoma County, and Sonoma County Water Agency, to develop their low impact development post-construction technical BMP manual. And this is this is really useful for our region. We tried to make it both effective and simple. The city of Santa Rosa especially has put a lot of time into making things like calculators to calculate the runoff very easily for engineers and people developing projects. So we encourage all of our phase two and basically, you know, any project throughout throughout our region that needs to address stormwater runoff to use that manual, and we work with them to do that.
One question. It's indicated here that there's 12 existing phase twos. How many potentially are there in total then?
That's still in flux. There was an initial list that was quite comprehensive, and I think that has shrunk significantly. There are some areas that we have that we're planning still to work with the state board to make sure are covered. There are some areas, especially in Humboldt County, very urban areas outside of Eureka that are not covered at all, which, you know, it's really hard to tell the difference between these areas of Humboldt County outside of Eureka and Eureka itself as far as urbanization level. And the only area of Humboldt County that's currently covered is McKinleyville. So there's areas like Myrtletown and Cutton that are very urban and aren't currently not covered. So we're going to continue to work with the state board to make sure that our concerns as a region on these designations are taken into account.
Well, and it seems like part of the struggle has been that, you know, say like a Santa Rosa that has a defined boundary. I'm not saying it's easy for them in any stretch of the imagination, but, you know, when we were considering for adoption the renewal of the phase one for that group, that, you know, County of Sonoma had a much harder time in having a boundary that was not a municipal boundary that was so tidy like Santa Rosa. A defined boundary. It was much bigger, and that universe is bigger and broader, and I think much harder for them to deal with. I think they lack resources to do that, but nonetheless, it's important that they do so. I think that's a real challenge.
Mm-hmm. You know, the kind of informally, the feedback I get generally from municipalities is that the internal structure of a city is a lot easier to organize staff and resources than the internal structure for county. And I don't really know enough about why, but I keep on hearing that from city and county staff, that the counties are a lot more difficult and the staff and the resources are spread between much more departments, and the ability to leverage that staff is more difficult.
Well, and to the extent that you could, and you and your staff in working in the stormwater front to make that information available. So phase twos can use that, again, that knowledge and experience out there to find compliance where, and to find those connections of other programs that are maybe already in play that would suit that need for sure.
We're really proud of how the phase one permit and their program has been developing in the last several years. And we really have been trying to use the things, especially the things that are working especially well, into our other communities and phase two, and allow them to use a lot of this information that has already been developed, and really encouraging them to take advantage of this work that's already been done very well.
Well, and I recognize too, you know, your groups like CASQA, you know, some of those bigger groups that are out there on the state front, working big with a lot of knowledge and working knowledge. I would be remiss if I didn't mention Virginia Porter and your group and your efforts out there. We have some real expertise out there and some real experience. So it sounds like this is adopted sometime next year, potentially. And as that goes forward, perhaps you could come back and talk about the final version with us and bring us up to par.
Yes, definitely. We'd be happy to update you. If I may mention something, I know that Board Member Macy was concerned about implementing a program. One issue that we are considering is that anyone that currently has a program will just continue on. We're not going to ask you to do anything different except for in the priority areas. So that's something that might ease the financial burden on these MS4s.
Mr. Corbett?
Yeah, I just wanted to add my appreciation for the work with the counties and how to solve it. And one of the problems that happened is when the state legislature amended how you became a city, hardly anyone has ever been able to become a city since then. So you're getting more and more what I call the rise of the unincorporated city-states in the form of hybrid special districts. And I suspect you may have to work with those special districts if at all possible. And the counties have been very slow to recognize that they have a new beast within their jurisdiction. And I see all the counties struggling with the implications, like I said, of the unincorporated city, state, or hybrid government.
Any other board member comments or questions? I don't have any speaker cards for this. This is an information item only. So I thank you very much for coming today. Thank you, Mona, for coming up and bringing us to par on this. We're going to take a 10-minute break, be back a little after 10:10 to take up agenda item number one. So this is a time and place for a public